Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can come into the presence of the Lord on this day and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. The announcements have been, some of them have been flashing before you on the screen, a couple in the bulletin, and so we draw all of those things that are happening in the life of our congregation to your attention. Particularly, the VBS, which is upcoming. We're starting to work in earnest in that regard, and so we're going to be seeking volunteers for the many helping hands that are needed to make an event like a Vacation Bible School a success. So please do keep your ear open for those pleas and cries for your assistance. Also, if you have young people in your life, children, grandchildren, children of neighbors who might be interested in attending the Vacation Bible School, let them know that we are preparing for that, and that those registration forms will be available. I don't know if I saw any today. I didn't, but they will be available from the church office at any time. So please feel free to pick one of those up. It's a busy week here at St. John's. Confirmation will meet again this evening, our confirmation gathering. We're getting very, very close to the end. So that will be I think as much as the young people may have enjoyed confirmation, they will be glad to not have to see the minister every Sunday night at 7 o'clock too. So, but we're getting close to the end, and that's exciting. We will be planning a confirmation service later in the month of June. So confirmation is tonight. The 6th Street Cemetery Committee is going to meet on Monday night. Session has their special meeting on Tuesday night. Vacation Bible School planning is going to happen on Wednesday afternoon. And worship and music are going to meet on Thursday evening. So very, very busy evening here, or very, very busy week here at St. John's. And finally, just a welcome to Ariel, who's been with us. See, I've lost track. This is your third week, right, Ariel? Is this third or is this two? It's second. So we're pleased to have Ariel with us, playing and leading in worship this morning. And finally, a welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream. It is always a pleasure to have folks from different places join in, as well as our own members of our congregation who can't make it out to worship this morning. As we enter worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, as is our custom, a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we as his disciples seek to walk in the light, in his paths of light. This morning's call to worship is responsive and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. We are gathered in one place to call on the name of the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
We are members of one body, called out in Jesus' name.
Come.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Perplexing Pentecostal God, you infuse us with your Spirit, urging us to vision and dream. May the gift of your presence find voice in our living, that our babbling may be transformed into discernment, and the flickering of many tongues light an unquenchable fire of compassion and justice. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's first hymn is found in the Book of Praise at number 581, Pour Out Your Spirit from on High. The hymn can be found in the Book of Praise or as it appears before you on the screens.
Pour out your spirit from on high.
Please be seated. Friends, God has promised that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, let us call on the name of the Lord, confessing our sins, trusting in his mercy. The prayer of confession will appear before you on the screens. Living God, we confess that we look for the living among the dead. We are foolish and slow to believe the promise of the prophets. We are frightened and full of doubt, even when you stand among us. Forgive us, God of grace. Open our hearts to receive your word and feed us with the bread of life, the life that death cannot destroy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sisters and brothers, God offers forgiveness of our sins and the grace of repentance. Accept God's grace, repent of your sin, and be restored to abundant life. Thanks be to God. Once more, we turn in praise to the hymn, Holy Spirit, Hear Us. It's found on page number 381 in the Book of Praise, or it will be on the screens in front of you. Pentecost Sunday is always a Sunday that is filled with surprises, not the least of which for the minister sometimes when that wasn't quite the hymn I thought I was picking. 3-4 weeks ago when I picked the hymns for Pentecost Sunday. So that was a surprise. So I hope you enjoyed a new tune to, I'm not sure if that's a whole new hymn or whether it's just a new tune to two old words. But that's not where I was going this morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good that we can gather this morning as we celebrate the life of the church. One thing I forgot to mention during our announcement time this morning was to say a thank you to all of my little helpers who came out yesterday. To Laura and Hannah and Brenda and to Alice Choi and Barb, you were here somewhere. Where's Barb? There's Barb. Barb was there too. Barb was making hats while everybody else was making doves, as you see before you this morning. It was always interesting, right? You get into these things and we just go, oh, we're going to do origami and we're going to fold paper and make doves, because of course that's what it is. But for many of us, we grew up as children folding paper all, and it seemed very hard. I think because it was a group of people who've never done this before, so it seemed very hard, except for Alice, who made them faster than the rest of us could think about them. The wonderful thing is, and it struck me halfway through, that because partway through this process of folding a dove like this, it looks like a boat. And it dawned on me to say at that time, well, it's just like when we were kids. And we would make a paper boat or a paper hat or the little selector things that we used to have, red and blue, pick red, blue, green, yellow, that one. All those little things we used to do as children, except here they have the purpose of taking shape and taking flight for us this morning. So I do want to thank all of my helpers who were there. I want you to know that all but three of the doves that were made are here. See, from a distance, you can't tell when they're a little crooked. And the only reason the other three didn't make it up was because I didn't have, they didn't fit the pattern. So you get to a point where you run out of ability to use them. But we use the dove, of course, this morning because the dove is the symbol of Pentecost. And on Pentecost, we remember how the church was imbued with the Holy Spirit and was given that wonderful gift, and how the Spirit throughout Scripture is depicted as a dove that descends from heaven and lands upon God's blessed people. So as we come this morning, the sanctuary looks just a little different as we remember Pentecost. Another one of those little Pentecostal surprises for you this morning. But a thank you to all those who came and helped. The next time, you should come and help too. It really is a lot of fun. We had the greatest giggles. So it was a fun morning. Let's continue in prayer. Let us pray. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your Spirit, so that we may be your church, a people with dreams and visions at work in all the world. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the New Testament, Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, Let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Second reading is from the Old Testament. It's a responsive reading. Psalm 104, verses 24 to 34 and 35b. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. And from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b to 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. And to another, by faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit.
Our hymn is 389. Breathe on me, breath of God, number 389. continuing to read from God's Word as it is given in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Listen once more for God's Word to His people. When it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Special commendation needs to be given to Michelle this morning. I usually always make sure I read Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost Sunday. Because of all of those biblical place names that are found there that are oh so easy to get wrong and tripped up on. So, and Michelle did it perfectly. I suspect it was a little contest maybe in the Alexis Barth household this weekend to see who could do the names best. How did you say that one? You'll have to see how well he did when he gets home. You can tell him you aced it. But that is one of those readings I really do always try to read myself. You know what? For the first 12 years I was in ministry, I said one of the place names wrong. Nobody ever knew. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a really short week here for me at St. John's. We arrived home late in the evening on Wednesday, so it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's been a very, very busy week. I tried to get as much of this planning done beforehand as I could, so Ariel had hymns and things like that, but getting a sermon title, if you ever talk to the secretary here through the entirety of my ministry, they'll go, "We're always chasing him for the sermon title. It's the hardest part." So if you're looking in the bulletin, the sermon title doesn't match the screen. The screen is right. And the screen is what it got changed to yesterday. Wind-powered ministry. It's close to what was originally thought up, but just a little change. Wind-powered ministry we speak about this morning. And as we turn to the text this morning and look at John's word to the church during this Sunday of Pentecost, I'm going to ask you to just come along with me this morning. Just don't think too much about Acts chapter 2. Just kind of live in John for this morning, okay? Because the facts are that we are about to explore something that we're not really terribly familiar with. As we gather here on this, the 50th day of the Easter season, and we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, we're used to that other passage that Michelle read so well, that reading from Acts, from the Acts of the Apostles, with the depiction of Pentecost as tongues of fire and the Spirit descending on the dove, and all of the disciples speaking in this cacophony of different languages in the streets of Jerusalem. That's what we're familiar with, and probably what I've preached most every Pentecost Sunday for 34 years now. But this morning, we're listening to John, because this is our year in the Gospel of John, and I am trying to get back into that discipline. And John's account of the gift of the Holy Spirit is, well, it's far less dramatic than the Acts reading is, and it's far more intimate. It's a very personal and present Jesus that is presented to us here in John's Gospel. Now you see, Luke portrays that grand public event, the one in the streets, as people are gathered from around the world to celebrate the festival of booths. But John is firmly connecting the gift of the Holy Spirit with the resurrection of Jesus. And indeed, throughout John's gospel, Jesus speaks of the gift of the Holy Spirit throughout the last 6-7 chapters. And as Jesus speaks about it, it's always as if it were a continuation, a succession of Jesus' earthly ministry. Indeed, in Jesus' farewell discourses, Jesus tells his disciples that he must leave so that the Holy Spirit may come. But come, the Spirit shall. And the Spirit will empower the church to continue the ministry that Jesus has done. There are indeed many points of contact, I think, between these two differing accounts. And as a minister, you know, one who geeks out over all of that stuff in the Bible, we could go off and explore all those similarities and differences in the accounts of that first Pentecostal experience. But to do so would be to ignore what both gospel writers, both Luke and John, were attempting to explain, which in these accounts of the coming of the Spirit. So we're going to just set that aside. But I'm going to ask you, come with me as we look at John. Suffice it to give this one explanation. As well as chroniclers of the life of Jesus, the gospel writers were also preachers to their respective communities. They were conveying the meaning and the significance of the life of Jesus for their first readers. And Luke says as much in the opening verses of the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote back in the Gospel, he says these words. He says, since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were the eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too have decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Luke there indicates that there are many different accounts, different explanations, but each gives its own meaning. And he has written his for Theophilus, so that Theophilus may understand. Luke, the other gospel writers, each writes to their community, so that their community may grow in their understanding of the meaning and significance of the life of Christ and of his ministry. So as we turn this morning to this passage from John's Gospel, the first thing that strikes us about John's account of the giving of the Spirit is that it happens on Easter evening. John links the gift of the Spirit with the resurrection, first resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples. While they're still in the upper room, cowering in fear, the resurrected Jesus bursts in and breathes his Spirit upon them. I don't know, it's just me and it's not a good analogy, but anybody remember the Kool-Aid commercial? Where the big Kool-Aid jug bursts through the brick wall and kind of arrives? There are days, especially on Pentecost Sunday, when you kind of think maybe that's the way that Jesus did it. Of course, the wall was still in place. He didn't burst through the wall, so it's a little different. But you kind of get that sense, and maybe that goes along with it, that sense of joy that would have been with it, right? But Jesus bursts into their midst to give them the Spirit. I think John's trying to tell us that we cannot separate the gift of the Spirit of the church from the saving actions of Jesus Christ, who gave his life upon the cross for the world. Earlier in John chapter 16, Jesus said, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to the one who sent me. And yet none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. But nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send the Spirit to you. Jesus going so that the Spirit may come. Jesus in these words tells that his ministry in the world is not over, but that the mission of the church is not over, but it will continue to be revealed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that ministry, that continuing revelation begins with the disciples as we find them here this morning, imprisoned in their fear. It is into this reality, this imprisonment in their fear, that Jesus bursts in and holds out a new reality for them. In the midst of their fear, Jesus declares peace. Into the insularity and the isolation of that upper room, Jesus declares, go! As the Father sends me, I'm sending you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Common in both accounts of the giving and the receiving of the Holy Spirit that we read today is the reality that the church is equipped and emboldened to fulfill her ministry through the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, let me rephrase that. Common to both accounts of the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit that we read today is the reality that the disciples are equipped and emboldened to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. No, let me rephrase that. Common to both accounts of the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit that we receive today is the reality that we are equipped and emboldened to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. Nick and Connie and Viola and Jeanette, all of us are equipped and emboldened for ministry through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it seems too remote, too distant, too not us when we speak about the mission of the church. Do you remember the little finger game that we used to play when we were kids? Here's the church, and here's the steeple. Open up the doors and see all the people. Those people are us. And people just like us in other churches, in other places, in other times in this world that have heard the gospel call and received the Holy Spirit into their hearts and have been moved to go out into ministry. People who have committed to the work of the gospel, to the feeding of the hungry, the healing of the sick and the soul weary, the caring for those in our society that our society has cast out or cast off, and being a beacon of hope in a world that languishes in darkness. There's Johannine language for you, right, Chuck? To be a lighthouse on the storm-tossed and troubled seas of life. The question for the church in every age, the question for us, this day is where does the healing and hope of the gospel meet with the human hurts in our community? What does the meta-narrative, the big picture story of Scripture have to say with the particular problems that we face as a community, the problems that we face as a world? That is go breathed in, wind-powered ministry into which Jesus calls us. So what can we do? What can we do to address the challenges of housing in our community? A lack of it, the unaffordability of it, the increasingly out of the reach of far too many of it, the too many without it nature of it, the need for housing for seniors of it. It's an interesting question. Is it time for us to take the responsibility of having and holding property in the downtown of our city seriously and redeveloping the site that is here with a newer and smaller worship space that accommodates us as a congregation of today and apartments that will meet the needs of those who are without housing or rent geared to income housing or places for seniors or places for some who are struggling who have no place to lay their head. Is that where God is calling us? Can we partner with local agencies or our local school just down the street to reach out to those who are in most dire need of support in our area? In the face of a global economic and refugee crisis in which temperatures in many parts of the world, including our own country, are rapidly reaching the point where they are no longer sustainable for human life. Make note of that. Temperatures that will no longer sustain human life. What can we do to help hasten the end of fossil fuels? We as a church have massive roofs that could easily and efficiently be used to house solar panels. We could collect the rainwater off them to not be such a draw on the resources of groundwater that we use to drink. What would it look like if St. John's became a net zero congregation, a congregation that drew nothing out of what we already have? Some people look at the events in the world around us and react hopelessly. They look at the problems in the world around us and they see only problems. But for us who are the church, for us who have been breathed upon by Jesus and who have received the Holy Spirit, there are no problems. There are only opportunities. Opportunities to be the church and to reimagine the world in which we live into a world that meets the high vision that God has for it. As we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit this day, let us give thought to what it means to pursue our wind-powered ministry. And let us receive the Holy Spirit that Christ breathed into each one of us to move us out into ministry. With thanksgiving for all God's gifts to us, let us offer ourselves and the fruit of our labor for God's work in the world. Let us present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have opened our hands to you, and our hands have been filled with good things. Receive the gifts we bring in gratitude for your care for us, and help us to bless you with the dedication of our lives. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And as we come in our time of the prayers of the people, there is a response to this morning's prayer. When you hear the words spirit of power and promise, you are invited to respond with the words, blow through us and renew our faith. Blow through us and renew our faith. Let us pray. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us on this day of Pentecost and renew our faith. Reawaken our love for God. Let your flames warm our hearts with trust in Jesus Christ and dare us to do great things in your name. Spirit of power and promise, blow through us and renew our faith. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and give us energy to serve you in Christ's church. Open our eyes to recognize needs for ministry and mission, and to equip us to meet new challenges in ways we haven't dared before. Open our hearts to live to lives caught up in stressful situations. Open our hands to share in the tasks that need doing, and open our lips in prayer and praise. Spirit of power and promise, blow through us and renew us. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and give us understanding for those whose lives seem so different from ours, for those with whom we've disagreed, and for the challenges facing our community and your creation in these complex times. Spirit of power and promise, blow through us and renew our faith. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and bring healing for all who face pain or illness, discouragement or disappointment, for all who know sorrow, sadness or grief, and for those who face pressures coping with the cost of living. Bring healing to the earth, to places of upheaval, and to ecosystems at risk. Spirit of power and promise, blow through us and renew our faith. Wind of the Spirit, blow through us and bring us the compassion we see in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blow through us and refresh us as your faithful followers, equipped to serve the world you love in his name, as together we say the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us. The hymn is found on page 384 in the Book of Praise, or on the screens before you. and now. May the Spirit of truth lead you in the ways of truth, giving you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to proclaim the wonderful works of God. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen.